it's a good day to be a Mississippian. It's good to be a Mississippi State Bulldog, an Ole Miss Rebel. Both your teams won yesterday. I was accused of wearing an LSU tie this morning. I didn't realize that. That wasn't part of my pregame preparation for our worship service today. We journeyed down to the ball game yesterday in Oxford, and as we were going down, we were to meet my dad at his home at 10 o'clock, and as usual, we were a few minutes late. Now, he's a very organized person. He has things in order. Boy, their house is spick and span. They have everything where it's supposed to be. Mom keeps it in gear, and we blew in there like a tornado yesterday. Any of you grandparents relate to that? We blew in there like a tornado, started opening the fridge. I have to open the fridge every time I go to their house. I don't know why. Started getting food out. Dad got more anxious. We were getting later. And then little Luke decided he needed a good glass of tea. And as soon as he poured it, the top came off. And it splattered all over the place. Mom had four sweet potato pies lined up, and I think a couple of those got marinated with the sweet tea. So any family members today, if you have sweet tea and it's a little extra sweet, it's attributed to Luke. Dad got so anxious, he said, I'm going outside. He handled it very well. He didn't lose his cool. Luke spilled the tea, made a mess, and guess what? He's made in his Father's image. He takes after me. I haven't confessed this yet, but since we're in worship, I think I'll go ahead and do so. I borrowed my parents' pickup truck not long ago. I was having some work done on my little Prius, so they let me use their car, their truck, for a few days. And I'm a big coffee drinker, and one morning I was taken out, and I had my coffee. And I started to back out, and I hit my brakes real fast, and my body went one way, and my coffee cup went the other. Coffee all over the seat of their truck. Only has about 20,000 miles on it, and it's 10 years old. So I lost my cool. I went inside and I got some water and I poured it all over that coffee. I thought I'd dilute it, you know, and I didn't dilute it real well. It just made it bigger. Just expanded. Made the problem larger than what it had started out at. No, I was embarrassed. I didn't want anybody to know. And finally, I did what any good man of faith does. I asked my wife. And Manya said, water's not going to do it. You got to get some soap. You got to get some cleaner. That's the only thing that'll take that stain out. And boy, she was right once again. Amen, man. Anybody amen with me there? She was right once again. It was the cleaner that took it out. The stain remover that did what I couldn't do alone, and what mere water only made worse. You know, I tell you that silly story this morning because in some ways it symbolizes, I think, the root and faith of our scripture reading today. Jesus is confronted with an accusation in our text, an accusation of false accusations by the people of the church, the people of the faith. And then he gets into this discussion, this dialogue with Pilate about this word called truth. Truth. And he reminds us as we hear it throughout Scripture, the importance of truth in our life, in relationships, in the church, in our business, being people of truth. It was the lack thereof truth that found Jesus persecuted and punished for our sins. Found him on trial here unjustly before Pilate. The loss of truth. It's so important in our faith that God made it one of the Ten Commandments, right? You shall not bear false witness. In other words, tell the truth. and the story that I shared with you. We understand, don't we, parents? We understand people of faith, the real importance of telling the truth. Because much like me, dealing with that coffee stain, you know, oftentimes when we tell that lie, even if it's a little white lie, see, sometimes it grows. And then if we're not careful, we, like me, pouring water onto the stain, we have to tell more lies. And really, instead of making it better, it just dilutes it and makes it worse. And the problem and the peril that we face, that we were trying to protect maybe our loved one from or our business from, it just becomes all-consuming and more of a stain upon our life. So Jesus says, embrace the truth. You know, I'm grateful that in another place in Scripture, the Apostle Paul says this about truth. It's often overlooked. Many of us are familiar with that passage in 1 Corinthians 13, right? The love chapter. But Paul also says this about love. He says, love doesn't embrace wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. So if love rejoices in truth, and you know, I think the opposite must be true too. Truth and love are intertwined and embraced. In other words, can you have one without the other? It seems not. Paul said in another place, speak the truth in love. You see how they're intertwined. Truth, my friends, in our faith and in our life is ultimately rooted in love. You know, as we face the terrorist tragedies in our world these days, and especially when we reflect upon the torment of the city Paris most recently, many of us have sought answers, have sought comfort in this world where we are God-fearing people. How could such tragedy happen? What could go through the mind? Some people who struggle with their faith most of all might even say this, if there is a God, or maybe even more bluntly, if there was a God, why would he let such tragedy, such torture, such evil exist? See, friends, I'm reminded most of all the words of Jesus again today where he said, My kingdom is not of this world. God's work in this world will be ultimately and fully restored, but his kingdom has not been fully revealed. He will conquer all evil, all brokenness, all hate, all falsehood, and embrace it with truth and love. That's the glory of God's coming, of Jesus' kingdom to come. That's what we have. That's the promise we embrace in the heavenly realm. There will always be brokenness in this imperfect world. There will always be questions. There will always be people in the spirit of the terrorists who live in falsehood, who live in lies, who turn from the truth. See, ultimately, the truth is found in Jesus Christ, who also said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. May we embrace him. And as we reflect upon the tragedies in Paris, I'm reminded of that story of the little young man, Brandon Lee. Some of you may have seen it. His fear, in questioning, asking his father, do we have to move? And his father said, no, this is our home. We don't have to leave. But he said, Brandon said, but Papa, Papa, they have guns and they're bad people. His father said, they have guns, but we have flowers. And Brandon said, but Papa, flowers can't do anything. And Papa said, oh yes, sure they can. They fight against the guns. They protect us with the truth. See, friends, the kingdom to come is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He will conquer all of our fears, all of our peril, all of our doubts, embracing us in His truth and love forever. Amen. At this time, I invite you to join